I give people a few minutes to come on. Hi Jackie, how are you? How did you enjoy Ron Carpenter's first service? Hi Tiana, thank you for joining. Hi Marlissa, thank you for joining. Give people a few minutes to come on. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship your name, God. We thank you that you are faithful. Thank you that you are holy. We thank you that you are righteous. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that's so awesome. I love Ron Carpenter. He is someone that has spoken to my life for many, many years. Me and my husband even went to his marriage conference, which was so awesome. He's just a jewel to the body of Christ. I love his transparency. I love his honesty. Yes, he is faithful. Yes, he is. I want to talk about something today. Hi, Deandra. It was such a joy to have you. I so much appreciate your ministry. I appreciate the prophetic word that you dropped in my spirit. I've been listening to it this week. God is faithful. You are a jewel to the body of Christ. So I'm going to talk to you guys about something that I think is really, 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 really important, especially for prophetic people. My heart, it's important for the body of Christ, but for prophetic people, my heart is for prophetic people because I know how hard the journey is. I know how difficult the struggle can be when you're prophetic. So many people don't understand the prophetic, so they discount the value of it or discount the validity of it. And so prophetic people really, really struggle in this current landscape of churches. So my heart is for prophetic people. So I want to talk to you tonight about offense, the spirit of offense. Prophet Deandra Bowden was at my conference this Saturday in Ontario, and she said something that has stuck with me pretty much all week. And she said that God wanted to deal with wells of bitterness. And I have ministered to hundreds, if not even thousands of people by the laying on of hands and just personal Holy Spirit filled ministry. And I have seen this as a recurring theme over and over and over again. I remember I was ministering for a young lady and she was very young. She was probably in there. Hi, Sharon. Thanks for joining. She was probably in her early 30s, if not late 20s. And she came up to the altar for prayer. And she said she came up for healing and she had 5, 6, 7, 8 different types of ailments, you know, high blood pressure, kidney stones, gallstones, all this stuff going on with her physical body. And the Holy Spirit told me to ask her, who do you need to forgive? Because our topic tonight is offense. And the Holy Spirit kept telling me, who do you need to forgive? And then she called out somebody's name and she just began to weep. And the power of the Holy Spirit just came upon her and she laid on the floor and cried for 45 minutes. The word offense, Psalms 119, 165 says, great peace have they which love the law and nothing shall offend them. That word offense, I know we've heard this before because we're biblicists and we know the word of God, but I'm gonna show you why it's one of Satan's greatest and most effective end time strategies. It says, so the word scandalon means to cause to stumble, to cause to sin, to cause to become indignant. It's a trap, a snare. And the reason it's a trap, and I just thought about this today, the reason it's a trap is because it's hidden. So unforgiveness has destroyed and split churches, relationships, destroyed families. It puts more Christians in hell than any other sin because it's a snare, it's a trap, it's something that's hidden. Most people know something's wrong with them, but they're not always able to identify it because Life is moving at such a fast pace, and we're busy, and we have children, and we have husbands and wives, and we're working, and all this stuff is going on. It is so easy for an offense to get buried down in your soul, and you forget about it. Same as an oath or a vow of agreement. You absolutely forget about it, but you know something is wrong. And so that's one of my prayers, is always in the Holy Spirit to show me, who do I need to forgive? And there were times where he showed me people that I need to forgive that I didn't even realize in the natural that I had an ought against, or that I had bitterness or resentment towards them. And so that's why it could be so deadly and so dangerous, is because it gets buried in our souls. And so we have to constantly commune with the Holy Spirit and be a student of the word, because Psalms 119, 165 says, great peace of them which love the law. That means you are meditating on the law, you are confessing the law, you are quoting scriptures, you are renewing your mind, because it is a defense against the spirit of offense. If we are meditating on the word, it is a shield against getting offended. Because the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold, pulling into captivity every thought and every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So the word of God will fight for you when you're unable to fight for yourself. And so let me show you why it's one of Satan's greatest end time strategies. Matthew 6:15 says this: if you don't forgive, God cannot forgive you. That is why unforgiveness puts more Christians in hell than alcoholism, sexual sins, addictions, lies, all that kind of stuff. Disobedience, rebellion, because if you don't forgive, God cannot forgive you. And God will not violate his law. He will not go against the word of God. Because one thing he said to me years ago when I first became a believer, he said, if I violated my word, then the very stars and the planets themselves would fall out of orbit and the sea would overtake the land, because everything that we see in heaven and earth is sustained by a word. He said, let it be so. He said, light, let light be. So everything is sustained by the word of God. And so he cannot violate his word. And he said that if you don't forgive, then I cannot forgive you. And this is why this scripture shows you why it's such one of Satan's greatest end time strategies. In Matthew 24, verse 9 and 11, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. He said, they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And this is so important for prophets. And we've talked about this, and we heard this over and over again, that if everybody loves your ministry, and me and Dee talked about this past weekend, that when she was here in California, that if everybody loves your ministry, then you better recheck the validity of your prophetic ministry. Because the Bible says prophets will be hated, they will be stoned, they will be rejected. If everybody loves your prophetic ministry, then you need to recheck yourself. And it says in verse 10, I'm in Matthew 24, 9, verse 9 and through 11, it says in verse 10, and then many will be offended. They will stumble. They will fall into sin. They will become indignant. They will be trapped. They will be snared, and will betray one another and will hate one another. I cannot tell you how many people in church hate each other. They'll worship together. They'll confess whatever the pastor says, say this to your neighbor. They'll say stuff to their neighbor. They'll sit in church with them. They'll serve with them, but they will hate them from the core of their being, and they will operate in loathing and seething, and they will not forgive. Some people refuse to forgive people. And in verse 11, it says this, because many will be offended. Listen to this, because many will be offended. Offense leads to betrayal and it leads to hate. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. The reason that false prophets are allowed to rise up is because the prophets of God are offended. And so they will rise up and deceive many. Many people today are being deceived by false prophets. If all you hear them say is, go get your blessing, and God's going to bless you, and God's going to do this for you, and God's going to give you this, and God's going to give you that, that is a false prophet, because God, that is not God's main message to people. He is more concerned about their soul salvation than he is about what they can acquire in the earth. God is not concerned about your possessions, because you cannot take it with you. He said it's easier for a rich man, it's easier for a poor man to enter into the kingdom of heaven than a rich man. Because a rich man is more concerned about his possession. God is concerned about your eternal salvation. And that is a story that is something that has been very, very close to me and very, very dear to me. When I minister to prophets that are struggling, God is concerned about their salvation. So understand that the false prophets will rise up and they will begin to deceive many. And I pray for you. I just want to decree something in your hearts and your souls and your spirit where there is latent unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment. I decree that the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal that to you. Bitterness is something that destroyed my marriage to my children's father. He was in unforgiveness. And a woman of God called me and she said, Satan is in your home. And I'm like, oh God. And I'm like, Satan, I bind you. You know what we do, our natural reaction. I bind you. I rebuke you. Get out of my house. And I heard a voice so loud and so clear. He said, I have a right to be here. Unforgiveness gives Satan a right to traffic and ruin and destroy your life, your ministry, your family, your business. And his voice startled me, because he only has the authority that he's been given. Satan and his demonic spirits only have the authority they've been given. He said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. Unforgiveness destroys relationships. I know family members that haven't talked to people, and I haven't talked to my own sister in almost a decade because she got mad at me and has not been willing to forgive me. I've forgiven her, and I'm not saying it wasn't difficult, it wasn't hard, and it didn't take work, but over the process of time, I forgave her, and I believe one day God will restore that relationship. But I talk to people that they haven't spoken to family members in 20, 30, 40, 50 years because of unforgiveness, because of an offense. And that's why it is so powerful. Matthew 18:7 says this, woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses come. Offenses are part of your Christian walk. It is one of Satan's strategies to keep you crippled, to keep you impotent, to keep you trapped. It is his greatest strategy. And so I want to talk about unforgiveness, but I also want to give you steps to get out of unforgiveness. So what I'm saying, to just recap, is that offense breeds unforgiveness. When you're offended, you are really hurt. That's what it is. Sometimes we need to call a spade a spade. And the people that I mentor, one of the things I teach them is how to put language to what they're feeling. Sometimes we don't know how to articulate what we feel. An offense is really a hurt. And it leads, and if we don't deal with that offense, the Bible says, agree with your adversary quickly. If we don't deal with that offense, it becomes unforgiveness. And forgiveness is this. Unforgiveness is to be angry or resentful towards someone for an offense. To a flaw or a mistake, it means to hold in bondage, to not acquit, to not exonerate, to not cancel the debt. Because forgiveness literally means that you cancel the debt. That's why God said, if you don't forgive, I can't forgive you. Because when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood, I canceled every debt. I canceled all your debt. And if we're not willing to cancel the debt of people, God cannot cancel our debt. Because it is just the grace of God that all of us are saved, that all of us are redeemed. It is just God's grace and God's mercy. And it reminds me of one of the stories in the Bible where it says a man was forgiven a great debt, but he was forgiven a debt of, I'm just going to make up some numbers because I don't remember the actual figure, but he was forgiven a debt of $10 million, but he wouldn't forgive a debt of somebody that owed him $10. And he said, because you don't forgive, that I'm going to turn you over to the tormentors. So unforgiveness torments you. And the more you don't deal with it, the deeper it gets embedded in your soul and your heart and your spirit. And then you can die bitter. You can live an entire, you can live your entire Christian life bitter. Bitter because the pastor said something to you. Bitter because somebody looked at you wrong. Bitter because somebody said something to you. But I want to break this down and show you how to walk this thing out. Because sometimes we get a lot of directives over the pulpit, but we don't have the ability. We don't get the information or the steps that it takes to walk things out. So let's talk about unforgiveness. But one of the reasons we hold on to unforgiveness, because one of the definitions is that we cancel the debt. And so one of the reasons we can't forgive is because we think they owe us something. And as long as you think somebody owes you something, that you will never let it go. The Bible says, whatever man sins you retain, they are retained unto you. So let's talk about forgiveness. Number one, forgiveness is a decision. You have to decide to forgive somebody. We can decide to hold on to grudges and hate somebody until the day that we die. So it initially is a decision. It is not emotional. You may not feel a thing. When we choose to forgive somebody, we may not feel anything. We may not have any emotional response at all because it's not emotional. It's a decision that you made. And you may still feel hurt about the situation. When me and my sister were extremely close, I mean, we were ride or die for 40 years. But when I remarried, that made her extremely upset. She didn't like it. She wasn't happy with it because it was going to change our relationship. And it really hurt me. It hurt me deeply because we don't really have any family left on my mother's side. So it's just us five siblings. And so it really hurt me deeply. But over the process of time, I would say, you know what, God, I forgive her. God, I release her. Was I still hurt? Yes. Was I still angry? Was I still mad about the situation? Yes. Did I want to get back at her? Did I want to say something to hurt her? Yes. But I made a decision to forgive her, and my confession followed my decision. And I've told this story many times. I remember when I was married to my first husband, he had an affair. And over the course of time, I would just pray, and it really destroyed my marriage. Even though we tried to make it work and hold it together, it really destroyed our marriage. It just ate away at the foundation of our marriage. But over time, I would just pray for her. And I'm like, Lord, I forgive her. Did I hate her? Yes. Was I upset? Yes. Did I want to harm her? Yes. My emotions were still extremely raw. You destroyed my family. But over the course of time, I would begin to pray for her. I would begin to, you know, release her in the Holy Spirit. God, I forgive her. God, I release her. And I would say this over and over the years. And I never saw her again, but we ended up going to the same church, unbeknownst to me. I didn't know we were in the same church. And I remember the pastors preached the message on great is his mercy or great is his faithfulness. And I ran into her, and my response shocked me because my emotions over the years followed my confession. And when I saw her, you would think I was seeing a long lost friend. And she looked so shocked because she didn't know what was going to come out of my mouth. Just because I'm in church don't mean I'm going to act right. Everybody in church don't act right, and everybody in church don't act saved. And she hadn't seen me in years, so she didn't know how I was going to respond. I could have told her husband. I could have told her mother-in-law. I could have told her child. I could have really acted ugly. But my emotions followed my confession because I made a decision years ago to forgive her. And I grabbed her and I hugged her and I was like, oh, it's so good to see you. And she introduced me to her husband and her child. And I was like, wow. That just showed me the power of forgiveness and the power of confession and the power of decision. I could have just tore her marriage up right there if I had let that thing fester over the years. But God is so faithful. And I would ask the Holy Spirit over the years, over and over again, can you help me? Holy Spirit, help me. I decree that your word is being established in my heart. That God, I have to forgive so that you could forgive me. And it just that end time, and I saw maybe one other time after that, but it was just, it was powerful to me. It shows me that God's word will not fail. That if we would follow it, that if we would declare it, if we would just speak it over our lives, if we would implement it in our lives, that his word will not fail. I remember a woman said that she was coming out of the mall and a guy got in her car and he said, I'm going to blow your brains out. And she said, every piece of me will still love you. And he just stopped dead in his tracks. He couldn't do anything. And she ended up having to testify against him. She said, but I forgave him and I prayed for him. Forgiveness is powerful. And so ask the Holy Spirit. We all have to walk this walk. Ask the Holy Spirit, is there somebody you need to forgive? Because it'll stop your life dead. It'll stop your life. It'll stop the flow of mercy. It'll stop the flow of provision. It'll stop the flow of grace in your life like nothing else will. So the number one is you make a decision to forgive. You don't need to go get hands laid on you. You don't need to go get prayed for. You don't need a prayer partner. You need to make a decision to forgive. And number two is acknowledge the hurt. And so I had to acknowledge the hurt many times over. People have done things to me, said things to me, you know, betrayed me, stabbed me in the back. Many times over, I had to acknowledge that hurt. You know, sometimes we think because we're Christians that nothing's going to hurt us, nothing's going to bother us, that we are bulletproof. And that we don't, that it's wrong to respond to our emotions. You have to acknowledge the hurt. But there's three questions that you have to ask yourself. And these are prophetic people, because I'm talking to prophetic people. Number one is it false? Is what they're saying about you or what they did to you, is it false? And number two, is it true? Because sometimes people can tell you the truth and you can get offended. Hi, sweetheart. Thank you, Anisha. You can get offended about somebody telling you the truth. If someone says, hey, you're living in sin. God showed me you're living in sin. That's wrong. And you need to come out of that. You can get offended. And the next thing is, as a prophetic person, do you feel rejected? Are you angry? Are you upset? Acknowledge your hurt, because you can't fix anything that you will not acknowledge. And if there's a level of truth to it, then you need to go to God and repent and ask for forgiveness. But you have to acknowledge how you feel. That's why so many people never heal, is because they don't know how to acknowledge what they feel. They don't know how to acknowledge hurt. It's not being less of a Christian. It's not you are still walking in faith if you acknowledge what you feel. You are still a Christian. You are still walking in power. You have to acknowledge stuff in order to forgive. So step number three is... Well, let me say this. So forgiveness unchecked becomes bitterness. So the process is offense. Somebody hurts you. Somebody offends you. Offense unchecked turns to unforgiveness. Unforgiveness unchecked becomes bitterness. Which is bitterness is this: anger and disappointment at being treated unfairly, or resentment. And resentment becomes seething and loathing. And you can think you forgave a person. When you've truly forgiven somebody, the love of God, the Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. When you've truly forgiven somebody, the love of God will overtake your heart for that person. But if you still have negative feelings toward that person, you still want to hurt them, you still want to get back at them, you still want to expose them, then you have not forgiven them. And the next thing, anger unchecked becomes rage, and rage is uncontrollable. And we see it all the time in ministry. We see it all the time on TV, crimes of passion. Somebody was offended or hurt, then they became, then they fell into unforgiveness, then they became bitter, and bitterness is anger, and then it turned to rage, and you cannot control rage. So that's why it is one of the greatest and most effective weapons that Satan has against the prophets of God, against the church of Jesus Christ, because that is why somebody can come into church and shoot up people, because they are enraged. I want to say this again. Unforgiveness is powerful. In Ephesians 4:31 says this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Hebrews 12:15 says it, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. The grace of God is for everybody. The grace of God is powerful. The grace of God enables you to forgive. And it says that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. And by it, many are defiled, tainted, stained, or corrupted. That the Hebrew word for defiled means this. It shows, it means tainted, it means stained, it means polluted. But the deeper meaning is this, is that the source is tainted. So if you're in ministry and you're operating in unforgiveness and you've allowed bitterness to take root in your heart, you are contaminating, polluting, staining everybody that you come in contact with. And because prophetic ministry is a ministry that touches people, it's the gift that imparts to people. You cannot, I always say this, we have a responsibility to impart deliverance, not bondage. And I just want to drive that home, that because we have such a powerful ministry that touches and imparts, you have to be very mindful of what's going on in your soul. You have to be very mindful that you cannot harbor negative emotions and sin because you're just imparting them to people. One of the things God gave me concerning prophetic protocols is that you cannot be so desperate for a word that you don't check the source. Because you can get an accurate word from a prophet that is unclean and you will spend years fighting off what they deposited in you. So I just want you to, all those that listen to me, my mantra, my desire, my confession, what I push is that you are a clean prophet. My actual ministry name is Between the Porch and the Altar. And what God showed me that was what was between the entrance of the sanctuary and the brazen altar where the sacrifices were being slaughtered, thousands and thousands of sacrifices, was the bronze laver. And the bronze laver, Moses told Aaron that this will be a perpetual ordinance for the priests, that they wash their hands and feet going into the presence of God, and they wash their hands and feet coming out of the presence of God. And at the base of the bronze laver were mirrors where you were able to look at yourself. You've offended people. You've hurt people. People are offended by you. And that's why Jesus said, if you know your brother has a problem with you or has an ought with you, then you go to your brother and you fix it. So offense works both ways. You've offended people and people have offended you, and both of them need to be dealt with. And so let's talk about, I want to talk about the manifestations of bitterness. There was R.T. Kendall is a pastor who God has really given him anointing to walk people through unforgiveness. And there was a woman that she kept getting brain tumors. And over the course of years, she just kept getting these brain tumors, and they would remove them and take them out. And then the Holy Spirit said, oh, you can get my book on either on my website, YvonneCamper.org, or on Amazon.com if you Google my name, if you put in my name. So they kept doing these removing these brain tumors. And the last time she went to the doctor said, these tumors are inoperable. We cannot remove them. And so the doctor sent her to R.T. Kendall. And R.T. Kendall walked her through the process of unforgiveness, and she never got another brain tumor. People don't understand how bitterness destroys your health. I worked in the healthcare industry, and I reviewed a lot of charts. And at the top of each chart, you have operative report, or you have what they call a discharge summary. So those of you who work in healthcare, you know what I'm talking about. And a discharge summary, it will show everything, every ailment or issue that the person had that was being discharged. And when I saw people that had like 10, 15, 12 issues and ailments, I knew something was wrong with their soul. I knew that was a spiritual issue, because some of the manifestations are bitterness. We talked about anger, rage, depression, Depression is tied to anger and offense. Hopelessness. Why so downcast, oh my soul, put your hope and your trust in God. Chronic illnesses. I really believe cancer, insomnia. I really believe these autoimmune disorders is tied to where your body is starting to turn on itself. It's tied to unforgiveness. And like I said in the beginning, it's you have to search this out with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you're not able to identify it. Sometimes only the Holy Spirit can identify it. Because if we're a nice person generally, we don't want to believe that we're mad at somebody or we're holding an ought against somebody. Or I love everybody. The woman that I prayed for that was struggling with unforgiveness, because the Holy Spirit showed me, she didn't say it. She was like, I just love everybody. And we think that loving everybody makes us a good person because we don't want to be bad people. But you have to acknowledge when something is going wrong. We acknowledge when something goes wrong with our car. We don't just keep driving it. Because we don't want, the reason we don't just keep driving our car is because we don't want to be broke down anywhere. That is one of my prayers to God. God, I don't want to be broke down or stranded anywhere. So why would we let our souls and our spirits get broke down and stranded? You got to acknowledge when there is a problem. So step number three is walking through unforgiveness. And I'll go over them again for those that just came on and didn't hear the beginning, is repent. We are to live repentant lives, and our behavior will exemplify that. Matthew 3:8 says this, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. When we fall into unforgiveness, unforgiveness is a sin. Let me say it again and let it sink in. It is a sin. And so anytime we sin, sin means that we are separated from God. We are separated from the flow of God. So anytime we sin, 1 John 1:9 says that you have to repent. You ask God for forgiveness. And that if you ask for forgiveness, that he's faithful and he will not only forgive you, but he'll cleanse you and wash you. So number three is when you fall into offense, unforgiveness, bitterness, wrath, anger, rage, you have to repent. And we are not repenting with our mouths. We are repenting with our hearts. True repentance, you are able to see. If I told somebody that I repented, I'm not going to drink any more alcohol, and I don't drink alcohol, but I'm not going to drink any more alcohol, and I've repented, I'm not going to be a drunk anymore, I'm not going to be an alcoholic anymore, next week you're not going to see me sitting in a bar, because my behavior will verify my confession. So when you say that you forgave somebody, then the love of God that is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit will be released towards that person. And when you see them, you won't have a negative feeling. Nothing will come up in you. You will, you know, all those negative emotions that come up. Because I want to say this again, it's one of Satan's greatest and most effective end time messages. And for those of you that came on, I just want to reiterate this. I want to read this scripture again, Matthew 24:9-11. It says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. So it's offense, betrayal, and hatred. And then in verse 11 it says, and then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. So because the prophets of God are offended and have allowed themselves to fall into offense and unforgiveness and anger and rage, false prophets have free reign to operate in the earth realm. And all they do is rape God's people. You want to see a false prophet? Look and see how many times they ask for money. That is one of the clear signs of a false prophet. They're all about filthy lucre and gain. I'm not saying there's anything taking up an offering, because if you're in ministry, that is what sustains ministry, but they want an offering for this and it's an offering for that. And I was at a church, I promise you, the pastor took up 4 offerings in the service. It was an offering for this. It was a tithes offering. It was your tithes. It was your offering. It was this seed and that seed. False prophets always want money. That is their primary goal, is to get your money and empty out your pockets. And they will promise you and give you a prophetic word, but prophetic words are not for sale. And anytime you have to pay a prophet for a word, that should alert you that something is wrong. Elijah said, not Elijah, what is his name? Yeah, it was Elijah. He said, you can't, Naaman was offering him something because he had healed. He didn't heal Naaman, but he told him how God was going to heal him. Elijah said, I'm not going to take nothing because the glory belongs to God, not to me. He wanted Naaman to know that God healed you, not me. And so the number three was repent. Number four is pray for them. I prayed for that woman over and over and over again, years. I prayed for her still mad. I prayed for her still hurt. I prayed for her still offended. But I prayed for her. And when the time came for us to meet, the words that I had been confessing, the faith that I had been walking in towards her, it manifested when I saw her. And 1 Peter 3:9 says this, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults. When people insult you, instead pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will bless you for it. So I want to reiterate, pray for them. Pray for those that despitefully use you. I remember one of my friends told me years ago, you can't hate anybody you're praying for. Because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've offended people. I've offended people. And there are times where I've had to go back and ask for somebody's forgiveness. It wasn't intentional, but it doesn't matter if it was intentional or not. I was telling my husband, we were talking about something. I said, if somebody hits me with a car, whether it's intentional or an accident, I still got ran over. I still got hurt. And so whether I intended to offend somebody or not, I still hurt somebody. And so we have to check our own hearts. It's not just about somebody hurting me, because the reason it's not just about somebody hurting me is because I'm not a victim. I am a victor. The Bible says I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. So I'm not a victim. I don't have to walk around dragging my tail and, oh, somebody said something to me and somebody hurt me and somebody offended me. I am not a victim. So I have to make sure that I'm not hurting people as well. There are times where I've prophesied to people and I know I prophesied the word of the Lord, but they were offended and they didn't understand what I told them. And then the Holy Spirit gave me the wisdom to clarify what I shared with them. Because I don't want anybody leaving any ministry assignment that I have offended or hurt, unless the offense led them to righteousness. So number five is this, understand, and this is powerful, because a lot of times, especially when it comes to marriages and relationships and someone breaches the marriage, this is always an issue. Understand, reconciliation may not be an option. Just because you forgive somebody doesn't mean that you have to remain in relationship with them. I forgave that woman, but that she's not going to be my best friend. I'm not going to have coffee with her. She's not coming to my house. And the reason, that thing was, I'm being very transparent here. The reason that relationship with my ex-husband and her was allowed to grow and fester is because their family, it was a whole entire family, they had lost their home and they didn't have anywhere to go. And out of the kindness of my heart, I was like, well, we got an extra room. We can let them stay here until they find a place to live. And that turned out to be deadly. And I probably did not use wisdom. And that's why I teach my girls. My oldest daughter is married. My younger daughter is getting married. And my middle daughter, her husband is on the way. And we're believing God. Don't let any woman stay in your house. That is the wisdom of God. Don't let a woman live in your home. That's not using God's wisdom. I didn't use wisdom. There's a lot of times in my walk where my heart and my emotions was overrode the wisdom of God in my life. So I didn't use wisdom in that area. So I almost created a scenario that was going to happen anyway, just because I didn't use wisdom. And so remember, number five is this, understand that reconciliation may not be an option. I had a friend that I had known for years. I was very close to her brother, known him since junior high school. And we became very good friends. We did ministry together. We did some business together. And she would always make pot shots at me. And I really didn't understand why. You know, I would overlook them. Again, not using wisdom. If somebody's always making pot shots out of you, they probably don't like you. So if someone is always trying to compete with, this is sidebar, but if somebody's always trying to compete with you or be everywhere you are, they probably don't like you. Envy masquerades itself as interest. She was jealous of me. And so over the years, she would make all these pot shots at me and stuff, and I would ignore them. But the wisdom of God was like, she is not your friend. And I had to accept that she was not my friend. And I released the relationship and I forgave her, but reconciliation is not an option because she doesn't like me. And we have to be honest about, there are some people in your circle that just really don't like you. They're in your circle to see what they can get. They're in your circle to see what you can do for them. They're in your circle to see how they can sabotage you. They don't like you. And I had to accept that everybody doesn't like me. I don't care how nice and friendly and generous and kind I think I am. Everybody doesn't like me. And so we have to use wisdom so we don't fall into offense. And number six is this: trust and forgiveness are not the same thing. Just because you forgive somebody doesn't mean you trust them. And a lot of times you'll see when in marital relationships, when a relationship is breached, you forgave me. I said I was sorry. Just because somebody says they're sorry, or just because someone says that you know, they've received your forgiveness, doesn't mean you trust them. Trust is something that you earn. I remember Ron Carpenter used this example. He said, if I sit on a chair and it breaks or snaps when I sit in it, I'm going to think twice about sitting on that chair again. And so you have to understand that unforgiveness is not trust. I want to drill this home. I want this to be embedded in your spirit, because we're taught to turn the other cheek, you know, and be kind and be generous and be nice Christians. But reconciliation may not be an option, and trust and forgiveness are not the same thing. And this is what the Holy Spirit showed me years ago. Turning the other cheek is not a license for somebody to abuse you. You have to know if someone is abusing you. You have to be mindful and aware if somebody just really doesn't like you and is just trying to gain off of the relationship. And with prophetic people, you will see that a lot. Because most of the prophets of old, they walked alone. If you read a lot of the passages in scriptures, there was one of the kings. The Bible says he had 450 prophets sitting at his table. But when he needed a word from the Lord, he said, is there still a prophet of God in the land? Prophets were people that people sought after. They weren't just among the common folks. You had to go look for a prophet. And so I just want to tell you that guard your life. Guard your life. Everybody doesn't have to like you. You don't have to be popular. Everybody doesn't have to agree with you. Guard your life. That's the last step in walking through forgiveness. Guard your life. Don't put yourself in a situation to keep getting offended over and over and over and over again. And James says this: if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it freely and unabradeth not. But I want to admonish you: forgive, release, ask the Holy Spirit, is there somebody you need to forgive? Because remember at the beginning of this video, the word offense, which leads to unforgiveness, is the Greek word scandalon, which is a trap. A trap is something hidden. It's something that you cannot see. A rabbit is not going to just walk in a trap. An animal's not going to just walk in a trap with their eyes wide open. They walk into the trap because they don't see it. That's why offense is dangerous, because you don't see it. But ask God for wisdom. So I want to pray for you tonight. And as always, if you have any prayer requests, you can put them in the comments. If you want to know more about my ministry, you can visit yvonnecamper.org. If you want to know about my book is called Healing the Wounds, Prophetic Leadership Transform, powerful, powerful book is not a powerful book because I wrote it. It's a powerful book because the Holy Spirit downloaded information for me. And prophets need to be healed because we don't want a false prophet taking our place on the organizational chart. Amen. So I just want to pray for you. So Father, we just thank you today, Lord God. I thank you for every person that joined. I thank you that the word of God is taking root in their hearts. Oh God, I just thank you for the healing power. I just release the healing power of the Holy Spirit over their lives like never before, God. And Father, where there's been offense, where there's been traps and snares, I thank you that the enemy be uncovered and he be exposed. Because you said if the thief be found, he must restore sevenfold, oh God. Angie, I want you to get some scriptures of healing and start praying for your back. God is a healer. He is a deliverer, but you have got to declare the word of God over your health, over your back. But I'll be in agreement. I'm standing in agreement with you, and I'm praying for you. God, and I decree that your people be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. God is faithful, and he is a loving father. And he loves you with an everlasting love. And your name is tattooed on the palm of his hands. And every hair on your head is numbered. You are his purchased possession. Jesus paid for you with his blood. And no weapon formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that will rise up against you shall be condemned. Because that is your heritage in God. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And that you have overcome the world by your faith. I decree that you gird up the loins of your mind and that God will begin to expose every area where the enemy is trafficking in your life. Lucretia, I'm praying for you. I'm standing in agreement with you. I believe, God, for your healing and your deliverance. I decree that God is going to give you liberation. I decree that God is going to give you wisdom in the name of Jesus, and I stop the trafficking of the enemy in your life in Jesus' name. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Forgiving my ex-husband was one of the hardest things I ever had to do. I was married to him for 15 years. I had his children, and it was very, very difficult. But because I have forgiven him, he comes in my home. He and his wife and his other children have been over my house for holidays. And I'm so grateful that I had the power in the Holy Spirit to forgive, because it has modeled a lesson for my children that you don't have to harbor bitterness or resentment. And I know some things are harder to forgive than others. Like a woman was giving her testimony where a man killed her only son. And he ended up going to prison, but that man ended up becoming her son in the spirit. And they developed an amazing relationship. So I know that forgiveness is powerful. I know that it's doable in the Holy Ghost. We can't do it in our own flesh. The Bible says not by might, but by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. That we have to do it in the spirit of God. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to move and operate in us and through us. Because like I said in the beginning, it is the one sin that takes more Christians to hell than sexual immorality, addiction, lying, cheating, stealing, is unforgiveness. If you die with unforgiveness in your heart, you're going to hell. Because Jesus said this, I can't forgive. If you don't forgive, I cannot forgive you. So I love you guys. Thank you for joining. Please pray for me. You can get my book on my website. Or on Amazon.com. You can also go on my website. One of my assignments is to minister to prophets in the marketplace. You can get a free copy of my book. Download my book for free called Witches in the Workplace. And God bless you. I love you. And pray for me. Intercede for me. I need prayers too. So thank you guys for joining. Love you so much. Bye.